Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Daddy, we are grateful. Now, by your spirit, we receive insight, foresight, with the benefit of hindsight from your word. So we will know how to do, what to do, when to do, where to do, and with whom to do what you have us do. For that is all that matter. Because you have our score sheet. So in faith, we project and we take reasonable step in accomplishing that big dream you've put in individuals' hearts and as a team, as a church. We give you praise for it, and we are thanking you for this. In Jesus' name. Say this after me: my heart is open. My mind is receptive. I receive the word. I know what to do with it. And I'm blessed indeed. Amen. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. I want to do a two-part teaching with us today in first and second service that I've tagged Lesson from the Ants. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. So there is wisdom that Solomon wants to share with us from studying the ant. And if you read the word of God, you're going to notice that Solomon had a wonderful kingdom. I mean, he had one of the most organized kingdoms on earth. So much that the queen of Sheba, the Bible says she fainted when she saw the things, how organized the guy was. I mean, he was the richest king ever since. So now, apparently, Solomon is telling us that, look, some of the things you see me apply in my kingdom. Because Queen of Sheba saw the way, you know, his staffs were dressed. He saw the managerial science that is being exploited. He saw how the guy organized his kingdom. He saw everybody looking neat. My God, Queen of Sheba says, half of it were not told me. I've heard so much about it, but coming here, I found out that half of it were not told me. Now, Solomon is telling us that, look, some of these things you see me apply in my kingdom that made me so excellent, I learned it from nature. You see, it is very easy for you to actually unlock certain wisdom in the earth just by observing nature. Because Romans 1 verse 20 tells us that through natural things, we can see the power of God, the invisible God. He says, for the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Are clearly seen. So you can understand systems. You can understand governments. You can understand, you know, processes just by observing nature. The God that is invincible and invisible, you can see him in nature. That's why Nathaniel Bassey was right all the while when he says, summer, winter, everything is Jesus. You see, you can learn, you can see the attribute. For example, God wants to create billions of trees, and he creates just a handful, and he puts seed in them. So he doesn't worry himself creating plants or trees every year, because in every tree, he puts a seed that will reproduce itself. So now you can learn from God that, oh, everything that comes to me, everything is not food. There is bread out of it, and there is seed out of it. So you see, you can learn from God that God thinks about continuity. You see, just by observing nature, you can see the invisible God. He says, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And that's why the author of the book of Romans 1 says, that's why atheists are without excuse. Because you can't say there is no God. Because just by observing nature, you can see the Godhead. You can see the invisible God. He says, but they became foolish, thinking that they are wise. And because God saw that they've chosen to be foolish, he gave them up to reprobate minds. That you can never miss God just by observing nature. And that's what Solomon is saying. He says, you sluggards, go to the ant and learn. He says, there is wisdom in the ant. Look at it. Look at it. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. See, there are two basic things I want to share with you today. I'm going to share one in first service, and I'll share the second one in second service. Two basic things to learn from the ant. It says, which having no captain. overseer or ruler, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. He says, look at it. He says in verse 8, provides our supplies in summer and gathereth our food in the harvest. Have you observed that you hardly find ants in rainy season? You will not find them in the winter. Why? Because they know that winter is going to be unfavorable to them. And they are not going to pray to God not to let winter happen. It's like, imagine Joseph telling telling Pharaoh that, you know what, let's pray against these 7 years of coming famine. No. You see, it has pleased God that on the earth there is time for everything. For instance, there is time to be young and there is time to be old. It's a system. So there are some things you cannot do when you are old. There is time to be born. There is time to die. It's an inevitable system. God has placed this thing. Why? You see, and that's why, as a young man, listen, and what I want to share with you today, some people may not need it now because they are still too young to think the way I want to share what I want to share. But you will need this message someday. That there are some things that when you observe your personal life, if you sit down as a young man, at least if you are about 20, 25, or 30, if you sit down, you will realize a cycle. And you will come to conclude that life is in cycle. And then you sit down, if you would be intuitively meditative enough, and see how events unfold in your life in the last 10 years, just sit down and draw a map. You will see a pattern. And you can from it forecast the next 10 years and prepare yourself now for it. Let me give you an instance. I was just thinking over the weekend. Those of us that were born in the late 80s and early 90s, our future, and it still looked beautiful, looked so beautiful those days because, for example, there were unity schools those days. I used to go for a debate, quiz, all right, represent my school. I represent North Central before, because I went to a paramilitary secondary school. Then you meet Minister of Education, having a chit chat with Minister of Education. I remember shaking hands with Obasanjo, former president of the country. You know, so the future looked so bright. Until some persons got into government, brought in terrible policies, and now the last 8 years now, all the children of the middle class in those days now, they are all in UK doing jobs that Ukrainians that fled actual war would not dare to do. Cleaning buttocks, cleaning shit, doing all those shitty jobs. These were children, and these were children of middle men, because the children of the poor can't even afford to get passports. Passports. So it was the children of the middle men of those days that are even capable of traveling now to do those kind of jobs. But monkeys swallow money. Snake swallows money. Come on, talk to me. Termite eats receipts. All of a sudden, an entire one office in a complex where the receipts that will be looked for to trace a particular money got burnt overnight. So you know that some persons, out of abuse of use of will, have squandered the future of those people born 80s and 90s. And the same cycle is about to happen for those born in the 20s. So that's why I said this teaching is not for everybody. But I pray that the Lord will open your eyes to see what I want to share with you. That if you don't prepare for your future, nobody cares for you. The system is never designed. Forget having faith in government. Forget having faith in leaders in this country. You have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. In fact, John F. Kennedy was right when he said, think not what your government will do for you, but think what will I do for my country. So, when you look at the life of ants, number one thing you will notice is they plan for the future. That's what I want to share with you in first service. I gave you that background to let you see that all the things you think were support structure that you can lean on, they don't work anymore. In this country, once upon a time when you are done with school, if you came out with a good grade, the job is waiting you. In fact, companies go to school during their convocation. And if you think I'm joking, there's a man here, he's an elderly person here, you know. And by the way, I got to know he's even a minister, but he's always been quiet all this while worshiping with us as a parent. You can ask him. There was a time in this country that if you finish from school, automatic job. But now we have 600,000 people graduating every year. Studying the same course that is no longer relevant. What is microbiology, for crying out loud? What is biology education? What is genetics? Who is whining you? Botany, plant science, microbiology, biochemistry. Some people say they are studying physics. Even computer science, you see, a grade of computer science cannot compute nothing. All he knows is dy dx. It's a problem, a national problem. And because I pastor a people that are within the age range of what we call youth, it is my responsibility that once in a while I come up with teachings like this to spoil you up. So you're studying law. Which law? Is anybody obeying court order anymore in this country? So you forget litigation. If you're studying law, study law to your pocket. Go and think of how you do properties. Nobody's doing litigation anymore. You're just wasting your time. People who don't have degrees, just come on high school. That's why when you go to UK, the real Britons, they respect Africans for coming to do masters. Because masters, a Briton, they don't go to school. Because the world has gone beyond general knowledge to specific knowledge. Where they just want to know, you, can you code? Simple. Nobody's asking you, do you have degree in this? Do you have masters? Yes, I say, hey, you say I went to Insuk. Who, for? Are you getting what I'm saying? Planning for the future. Because, like I said, the government, nobody in the government cares for you. The earlier you know this and pull yourself by your bootstraps, the better for you. So you have to plan for the future. And it's so painful when I hear people say they are whining away time. My God. You'll be amazed. You wake up, close your eyes and open it. You are already 30. You close it, you open it, you are 40. Before you know you are 60, they now start thinking of the old good days. That won't be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. When you see a 75-year-old man in Lagos doing Danfo, Danfo is the, for those of you that will be listening outside country, is about someone who calls other people to come into the bus. Shouting, ta ta! And you see the man is in his late 60. You'd know something has happened terribly to his youth age. Some for lack of opportunities, some for squander of opportunities, and some for stupid decision making, and for some for lack of planning, no foresight. And some just out of sheer ignorance. So the first lesson from the ants that Solomon, the wise king, learned from the ants was that they have this intuitive motivation to have the future in mind. And then they plan accordingly. Let me show you a chart of what I want to share. Planning. Look at it. I'm talking about lesson from the ants. Give me the first slide, please. Lesson from the ants. We have planning. And I want to define what planning is. You know, I'm talking about planning for the future. The first thing is planning. Planning is deciding in advance what to do, how to do, when to do, where to do, and with whom to do, therefore bridging the gap between the present and your desired future. So planning is very important. You have to plan. You know, you need to tell yourself, okay, my future is in my hands now. I can still control my future. Now, I've defined what planning is for you. I said planning is deciding in advance. Look, if you don't plan, there are systems that have negatively been planned and programmed in your disfavor. For example, if you don't plan, ASU and federal government will always have disagreements that will waste your time. And wasting your time, if you don't know, is wasting your life. So you have to plan. There has to be contingency plan. Like, okay, if ASU strike, what can I get doing? Sure, you can see the church now. A church of over 200, almost 300. Sure, you can see we are less than 100 now. They've all run home. Any small thing. I'll be 16 years. I go, they run to my house every time. Don't worry. Until they open their eyes and see that, oh, now they are 26. They are graduating with a degree and nothing. Only degree. Nothing. Some can't even boil water. You see, the problem, look, I interview people. We have graduates in this country, to be sincere, but we don't have employable graduates. I'm telling you. No communication skill, no ability to express, no nothing, basic things. No, it's not there. Things they should have added on as contingency plan. They need to plan, but they were waiting. Planning for the future, you are deciding in advance. Because if you don't, there's already a set system that is already working against you. For example, the issue of jamb is already a way that the devil has put in the mind of federal government to already destroy your destiny. Because some people write jamb 8 times. And I know people who are very brilliant, they wrote jamb. But they can't understand why they are scoring low. And some will go to church and pray as if it's a curse of village people. It's just poor. But today, who can tell me how they mark those scripts? Do you know how they mark it? In developed countries, there's nothing like jamb. If you wrote SSCE exam, you can right from there, you can apply. GCE, A levels. The same people failing jump are scoring well in A levels. An exam set by a foreign body. Why? So some people now, they said, and again, the idea, the traditional system of thinking, I want to study medicine. Do you know how long it took me to stay at home thinking I want to study medicine? Thank God I snapped myself back quickly. So these are the issues. So this message is actually African specific. And maybe Asia too. So you have to listen carefully. So you have to decide in advance so that you won't be a victim of unplanned circumstances. Tomorrow now, ASU can enter another. Well, anyway, if you're listening outside the country, ASU means Association of what? University is a body of university workers in Nigeria. So, and they go always in strike with the government. Government is always either not fulfilling their past. It just enters some issues. They just did 8-month strike. So imagine 8 months. Do you know that some people that 8 months, all they did was two things. They added flesh. And then they were in charge of remotes at home. That was the only thing they can account for. What a shame. So why planning? Why planning? Planning provides direction. You can see it there on the screen. Direction. I wanted to give you a graphic representation. That's why I came here. You know, yesterday night, I had to involve one of our, you know, stewards on the computer to get this done. Provide direction. So by stating in advance what to do, how to do, where to do, and with whom to do, planning provides direction for action. Now, there's already a potential energy that comes with youthfulness. But if you don't plan, you don't have direction to direct that action. Because energy cannot be destroyed nor created. You can only convert it. So there is already an inbuilt energy that comes with youthfulness. And if you're not careful, there are systems on ground designed to actually help you exploit those energies for negative purpose. So if you don't have plans, you have your energies used negatively. For example, now, the energy of, all right, this physical energy now that comes with youthfulness, if you're not smart, you can expel it on having 5 girlfriends, wasting your life. You spend 1 week here, you go to this one, we see this one. By the time you know, your life is finished. But to you, you still feel like you are in your youth age. But guess what? That's a system already set in place to exploit your youthful energy in the wrong way. So it gives direction. It provides direction for action. Provides direction for action. Some of you are trying to snap. Don't worry, we're going to put it on the church group so that you can download it. Just pay attention. Number one is what? What does it do? Provides direction. Number two is, it prevents wastefulness. Planning prevents wastefulness. You see, a major resource that once wasted is almost impossible to recover is time. That's why Ephesians 5:15, it says, see to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, redeeming the time. For the days are evil. He says, as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are full of evil. The word evil there does not necessarily mean, you know, something that is calamitous. It simply just could be anything that could contend for your time and render the whole of your days on earth useless. And that's why you see Moses, the man of God, prayed in Psalms 90, verse 12. He says, teach us, O God, to number our days. A lot of Christians quote our scriptures for birthdays. But notice, Moses did not say, teach us to count our years. People used to quote that scripture to count the number of years they've spent on their birthday. But no, I think it's far bigger than that. Because numbering means to apportion to every day a specific action in pursuit of a big goal. Oh, I love what was said about David. Because you see, at the end of the day, if you number your days will count. That's why I love, one of the most beautiful things said about David that I love to read is that one which Dr. Luke said in Acts 13 verse 36. When he says, David, after fulfilling the will of God in his generation, passed on and slept. What a powerful epitaph. So numbering is different from counting. Some people, all they have is just counting number of years like Methuselah. But the age of Methuselah has nothing to do with the wisdom of Solomon. I mean, you read Genesis and he was born and he died. Are you not tired whenever you read those scriptures? Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. And this begat this and he was also number of years and he died. Only Enoch changed it. He said, and Enoch walked with God and he was not. Okay, at least he walked with God with his own lifetime. Fine. Then again, you see it again. And this begat this and died. And the number of his age was this. The only thing about them was the number of years spent. Let me repeat so that you can get it. A major resource that once wasted can almost never be recovered is time. That's why Moses in Psalms 90 verse 12, he says, teach us to number our days. Ephesians 5 verse 15 to 16, he says, that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise, redeeming the time for the days are full of evil. And the word evil doesn't necessarily mean calamitous experiences. No, it simply means unplanned circumstances and situations and occurrences capable of, you know, utilizing your time negatively, squandering the entire, rendering the entire existence of your living useless. And that's why Moses cried in Psalms 90 verse 12. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. Now, a lot of Christians quote that scriptures to count the number of years they spent on their birthday. But I think it's far bigger than that. Because he never said, teach us to count our years, that we might apply our heart to wisdom. He said to number our days. To number your days means to apportion to every day a specific task in a pursuit of a big goal. And that's why, like I said, one of the most beautiful things that I love said about David was that David, after living his entire life, fulfilling the will of God on earth, the Bible says then he slept with his father. That means he died. What a powerful epitaph said about David in Acts 13 verse 36, that after fulfilling the will of God in his generation, then he died. What a powerful epitaph. Because at the end of your sojourn here on earth, you would, in eternity, you would not be rated by your duration, but by your donation. Your importance on earth would only be rated based on that which you contributed to the will of God in your age, in your time, in your generation. That's why it is said of David that after he has fulfilled the will of God in his generation, then he died. That's the most powerful epitaph that anyone can have. Because life is not measured in eternity based on duration, but based on donation, based on contribution. How much of impute were you able to put in support of the will of God in your own time and generation? That's what makes life meaningful. So when I see young people saying, what are you doing? I'm not doing nothing. I'm just whiling away time. Hey, people are buying time. Bible is telling you to redeeming the time. That means the Bible already assumes that you have already even wasted time. You are already whiling away. You are now whiling away time. Can you see the negative wisdom of foolishness? The Bible assumes that you have already wasted years and is telling you to redeem time. Do you know the meaning of redeem? Redeem means ransom, to buy back. Josiah was 8 years old when he was a king. And that's why I cannot understand why there are still some young folks, anyway, being young has something to do with age. There are still some young folks who still want people who are, you know, saying Bala Blue to lead the country, because I think one of the greatest evil done to us in this country is the deletion of history. All the great guys, you know, they were your age when they were pulling stuffs in this country. All of them. But somewhere down the line, someone has made you believe a lie. That you don't have the expertise, that you don't have the experience. They even tell you don't have the structure of criminality that has helped nobody. I just don't want to sound too political, but I hope you're getting something. Are you getting blessed? Plan for your future. If you are not careful, you realize that your entire existence in the scheme of things did not eventually matter if your children eventually have to tread the same path, that they have to also go to the same school, that the same teachers who taught you have to teach them too, that you still have to take them to unsuk, that they still also have to go through the same rigor, and also you need to start now looking for a job for them. So you know that you have failed. So all this time that you are spending of think talk is actually Satan killing you small, small. You don't know. My God. There's nothing wrong with TikTok or social media. I use it very well as well to spread the gospel. You see, that's one thing. Most of these things, they are neutral. It's how you use them that matters. Number one, I said, does what? Provides direction. Number two, I said, it does what? Prevent wastefulness. Number three, it gives room for innovation. See, by planning, we give room for foresight into possible dangers and possible solutions ahead. You see, if you don't plan, you won't even foresee a possible danger and you won't prepare ahead of it. The Bible says, a wise man foreseeth danger and he hideth himself. That means he makes plans, contingent plans, palliative are set in place to cushion the effects. I'm not talking about palliative in a guy that was told, you know, by the same people who are wooing you to vote. My man, skip that. The devil is a liar. How old was Gowon when he was ruling this country? How old was OBJ? How old, all these people, how old were they? Because the system has been so bastardized that you are 30, 31, and you are doing convocation, and you are rejoicing. It's good to rejoice, but you see, it just shows, listen. You know, I want you to go back home today thinking. It just shows you how the system has so gotten bad that in their days, at 21, 22, they were done with degree. Instantly, they are getting scholarship to Britain. They are going through British Airways. They are coming back. Now, they squandered their generation. Squandered your generation already. Generation of your family, of your parents. Now again, they want to squander yours. But the only way you can prevent this from being a major hit on you is to plan. Look, this message is so important because when you look at statistics already, you realize that in the 19th century, it was all about the Western world. In the 20th century, it was all about the Asian world. I'm talking about an impute to global empirical calculations. In 21st century, statistics asked it that this century is for Africa. Think about it. By 2050, Nigeria alone will contribute to 42%, Africa alone will contribute to 42% of the youth age of the entire world. And that by the end of this century, Africa will be donating 40% of the entire world population. So now, and they're already seeing us as consumers. Developed countries now, they are opening opportunities for youth to fly down because their entire age range are growing old. They need youth. Other countries are looking for youth to explore their possibilities. Statistics shows that in the last, as of December, over 25,000 people have migrated to the UK from Nigeria. And these are the best of our best. The best that our school produces. Doctors, engineers, tech guys. That's why you saw your bank app are misfunctioning. They've all resigned. They've all moved. That's the problem. Something is happening. All our caregivers. That already tells you that one of the jobs that will also start selling in a few years from now is age nursing. There's a science they call it. What's that science that takes of age? Gegratic something. I don't know. I don't want to bite my teeth. All right. Because people who have gone out will have to look for a nurse they will be paying to take care of their parents in Africa. So this message is so important. If you don't plan, nobody has plan for you. The highest plan your dad can have for you is to say he wants to talk, and all his contacts, they are all civil servants. When last did this civil service employ anybody? By the way, they are employing, but they are not employing you. You get it? If you don't get it, forget about it. So prevents wastefulness, gives room for innovation. Then lastly, so I can close. Planning sets standards for monitoring, control, and evaluation. If you don't have a plan, because one thing about planning is, one of the major attributes of planning is goal setting. And you have to set smart goals. Let me use that word, smart goals. You know, the word smart, I use an acronym for it there. Please help me with it. I said, your goal must be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. I'm just going to just minute on them quickly so that you can get it. Have a specific goal. That means your goal must be specific. Stop saying, well, in the next 10 years, I want to be a millionaire. That's a vague ambition. What are the figures? The next couple of years, I want to be a multi-millionaire. Couple of years. But well, greet everybody for you. Then say you, they go say, well, TikTok children are the one laughing. They know what I'm saying. Specific. Be specific and concise. Have a specific goal. Number two, let the goal be measurable. That means, all right, so that along the way, you'll be able to tell and calculate your progress. Growth is always measurable, discernible, and deliberate. Growth is not something that happens by happenstance. If you want to grow in your finances, you have to plan it. For example, now, with the statistics I just gave you now, that in the turn of the century, Africa will be making up the 40% of the population in the world. A wise person already knows that, oh, that means there will be need for housing. And all the money you are spending weekly on shawarma, it might look very tiny, but you can actually go and get a piece of land in your village. In your village, they can even dash you land. But 40 years from now is too far for you, that's why. It looks too far. I bet you close your eyes now, you are 60. I'm telling you, time runs fast. Don't forget, as the population increases, land is not increasing. Are you following what I'm saying? What my eyes saw yesterday, see, look, you will know that if you don't have house, you are in trouble. You don't have a roof over your head. You are already in trouble. And statistics is telling you. The developed countries are saying they are finding lithium. They are finding all these minerals that they are using to make flat screen. All these things. That's why you see all these Indians. You think Indians like your country. That's why they are here. And Leo, greet everybody for here. You wake up and realize that you're already a refugee in your own country. So, plan. Plan. So, planning helps you to... So, you have to set goals. Specific, must be measurable, and it must be attainable. Don't set mumu goals. The next couple of years, I'm going to be a multi-billionaire standing next to Oprah and the Queen. Okay. How much is the Nigerian's GDP? So those are not attainable goals. So set attainable, achievable goals. Then relevant. See, let your goal be relevant. Now, let me tell you, this is one thing that keeps you going. Your goal must connect emotionally with you. There must be a deeper, more than superficial connection that you have to that goal you are pursuing. For example, now, I'm a pastor. I can never be a governor. I can never be a minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. I can never be a governor. I can never be a president of this country. It's a demotion to me. Because I pastor governors here. See, some of them are looking, where's the governor? You see, it's the problem. That's why you need to, I need to open, some of you, I need to wash your brain. I'm a pastor to governors. Pastors to senators. My God. Pastors to military generals. pastors to owners of industries. So what am I doing there again? When your friend is a king, you are a king's friend. So there's no need for I can't be. I'm not competing with you. Even if I'm driving a G-Wagon and you are there driving a Tesla, there is no fight in this world. I'm not competing with you. My own is to school you in God's word, and then you take your word for Jesus. That's my business. So set standard for monitoring. So what planning does is, because planning involves goal setting, and goal setting, you have to make sure your goal is smart. That means it is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant. So there must be a connection. Like me now as a pastor, I have a goal of growing this church by the Spirit of God beyond this number. There's a specific number. Now, what keeps me driving harder to achieve it is because I have eternity attached to it in my subconscious. So far beyond ephemeral and superficial gains, it is relevant to my understanding of the reason why I live. So that relevance is enough to motivate me. So because a lot of people set goals that is not relevant to their core, to their value, to the person that they are. So because it does not in any way affect what they are already intuitively passionate about, they don't have the drive to go for it. They even end up setting other sub-goals that will cannibalize that goal. For example now, let me give you an instance now. For example now, let's say you want to be a footballer. There's a footballer here. He was a former sports director in their school. All right? But you see, when people, all right, all these boys in your age in other developed country, they are already doing good. Is it you now? I'm sure it's just the normal food you eat, you go to feed. And there's not any kind of food those people eat, you know. Uh-huh. So you have to work harder to catch up. Why are you looking at me? Is it not a bar, cassava that you eat? Is that not what you eat? Two, and then you go to field. And then you still try to perform. You are working hard. You don't know. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you want to be a footballer, for example, now, you know that a footballer, you can't have tummy. Now, if becoming a footballer is not something deep inside of you that make you set goals, okay, I will go to gym to make sure that this tummy does not go. You end up setting goals that, I need to increase my protein level. Let me start taking meat pie every day. You're already setting goals that will cannibalize that goal. Cannibalize means to feed on it. Because the initial goal you set does not have any relevance with a deep touch of spiritual sense in your subconscious. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I read Bible every other year. Complete every other year. This year, who now? I've started already sometime around February. There's a number of chapters I must read per day. Now, sometimes I'm into a lot of things because I do, before I go to bed, I do my to-do list. The next day, my to-do list might be so much that I feel like, I don't think I'll be able to do today's Bible reading. But when I remember that I'm a pastor, do you get it? I must refresh my knowledge about, because sometimes when you teach, you must be able to relate to stories. How many of you have seen me tell stories in scripture as if I was there when it happened? Come on, talk to me. So I need to refresh, because it's not about I know, it's about currency of knowledge. That enough is okay to motivate me to say, I will read, oh, if I not read. do you understand what I'm saying? So I have to read it. Good number of chapters every day. Are you following? And I'm done with New Testament already because I began from Matthew. Are you getting what I'm saying? There was a day I sat 40 days fasting. And I said, I'm going to fast for 40 days to finish the Bible, the Amplified Version. 40 days. I finished it. Of course, I love God. I want to know his word. But there's also a drive that at least I have materials to preach from. Because I cannot... Are you following what I'm saying, church? So there is your goal. There is, it must be relevant to something you see far beyond superficial. Otherwise, you won't have the energy to drive it. You must attach a purpose of eternal value to it. Because human beings, naturally, that's why you see people after they become the richest person they want to be on earth, they end up going into charity. Come on. Because they found that it is not about having or accumulating money. That's why you see your professors, some of them are sadists. They just love to see people fail. They have become professors themselves. They've reached the peak. Why are they still sad? It's because, look, if there's nothing of eternity attached to what you are pursuing, you will find out later on in the end that it is vanity. You will lose your soul eventually. Are you following what I'm saying? That you can accumulate all the money. One day I will do a teaching to you from the book of Ecclesiastes. The entire book of Ecclesiastes was something that Solomon wrote after a lifetime of mirth. He found out that everything, he summarized it as vanity. Why? Because all the goals he was setting, all the things he was pursuing, there was nothing of eternal relevance attached to it. If I want to make money, I'm making money with the saying that I must sponsor the gospel. And because I know that sponsoring the gospel determines how wonderful my afterlife will be with God, because I'm going to be rated on earth in eternity, not based on my duration of life, but on my donation, my import, my impute in the advancement of the gospel in my time and age. That is enough to motivate me to work hard and work smart to make more money. So, but the other guy who has nothing of eternity attached to his goals, at the end of his life, when he amassed all the money, he will still not be happy, because God has placed a hole in the heart of every man that you can never be satisfied. There is a God-sized hole in every man that only God can fill. And until you realize this early and find out that everything you do must have eternity, it must touch in base with eternity, you will be merely existing, not living. And at the end of your sojourn here on earth, you have played 2-0. You have failed on earth, no satisfaction, and in heaven as well, you have failed. That won't be your portion in Jesus' name. This is why it's so important you know these things. So your goal must be relevant. They must touch base with satisfaction in your soul. And because that is true, so planning sets standards for monitoring, for control and evaluation. Because planning requires goal setting. Now that helps you to evaluate. That helps you to monitor. That also helps you to adjust when there is a need for corrective action in a place where there is deviation in performance. Let me use a simple mundane example. For example, now let's say you are into producing cake. You supply a mall, and then you supply them every week. You supply them 50, let's say you supply them, let's say 500 pieces of cakes, cupcakes, every week. Now you employ two guys that help you do it. Now let's say they get it every Saturday, and you must produce 500 cupcakes that Saturday. Now, you want to pay those workers per hour, and the plan is that you're going to do 5 hours with them to produce it. Now, they are already eating into their fourth hour, and they have produced only 200 out of 500. Because you have a goal of producing 500, you now take corrective measure, because there's already a deviation in performance. It is planning that helps to say, we have just 1 hour left. Maybe I should get supplementary ad hoc staff to help me. Come on. Or maybe I should elongate. You now have a reason to tweak the time, to tweak the production process, so that you can meet a goal, because you already have a plan, and in planning you have a goal, and in pursuing those goals you have a route. And so because there's a plan, you can monitor, you can evaluate that this fourth hour already, and we have not produced, and this is where we are going. So planning helps you to monitor, to control, and to evaluate that which you are doing, and what you are doing, where you are doing, and with whom you are doing what you are doing. So the number one lesson you learn from the ants this. I wish I have time to preach more on this. I will teach some other things. I will go specific in the coming years, coming maybe next month. I'll be taking some aspect of life in specifics to talk, because this is general teaching on planning. But were you blessed already? Will you do something with it? Now, write on your paper. Now, that's why if you are in church, you don't have any writing material, you are... What's the color of your mumu safe? No writing pad. You are not even your phone. You can't write on the notes. You're just folding your hands. You are looking. Say, You see, you are only nodding. By the time you step out, everything will evaporate. If you are in church and you're not writing, you're not typing nothing, no notepad, you're not here with the pen, no book, you're not writing nothing, you're just nodding yourself, like Lisa, Don't forget, by the time you step out of the auditorium, everything will evaporate. The saying is true, after all, that the faintest pen is sharper than the sharpest brain. You could have written something, how many of you have written something, 6 months later you saw it and you say, so I wrote this, right? Because then you cannot, it's not possible for you to remember everything. So if you are not writing, you are not smart. Even God, to pass information to a generation continuously, he has to write it down. He told Nehemiah, he says, Habakkuk, write it down, that they might run that seed. You must write it down. He says, the division is for an appointed time. It will come to pass. It says, he that come will come. And the original hermeneutical explanation of that scripture is about the coming of Christ. And he came. But it was written. Because Jesus himself had to come and claim that it is written of me to do thy will. Everything Jesus manifested, he read in the notes that it was written. So God had to write. You are not writing. And Leo, greet everybody for dear. That's the new code I caught on the street of TikTok. Otherwise, it will fade off. Let us bow our eyes for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray that this truth that we have learned today will be doers and not just hearers, and will bring forth fruits of righteousness.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.